This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bear,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. Will Hatzel with you here. We're going to be talking some White Sox today, finally getting around to talking about the Tony La Russa hiring. The White Sox have a new manager, and it's not exactly who everybody expected, and it's been just as much of a hot topic as the presidential election here. And in a moment here, my good friend Drew Clawwooder is going to join the show again today to discuss this with me. And, you know, we'll break down, you know, what we like, what we dislike about Tony La Russa, and ultimately, is it going to pay off in the end? Is this the guy to lead the White Sox through the playoffs and back to the promised lands of the World Series? Can he mesh with the big personalities on this team and, you know, that generational divide between, you know, the manager here who's, yeah, what, in the 70s, I think, and then compared to the players today where we know there's a lot of things happening on and off the field that are affecting the way these players play and how they express themselves. So a lot to dissect here. But first off, I just want to thank everybody for tuning into this podcast, subscribing the last couple of months since turning this into a podcast from a radio show at Sportstown Chicago has been very successful. Recently just hit the 1,000 mark for listenership. So the podcast is growing in terms of a fan base and the listenership. So I do appreciate everybody checking it out. And just a friendly reminder, you can listen on Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Really, just literally go to your search bar and type in Windy City Sports Talk, and I know it's even being added to a couple of other places. So wherever you get your podcasts, feel free to subscribe and get weekly podcasts. You know, I try to do at least one, maybe two a week. So try to stay up to date with Chicago sports and throw in a couple of curveballs in there of different fun things as well. Like if you're into sports video games, say Madden and NBA 2K, I just did a special two-part series with some other friends talking about the evolution of sports gaming and where it is today as we head into another console generation. So a lot of variety in what you can listen to. But without further ado, let's get back on this topic of Tony La Russa, and I'm going to bring in Drew now. Drew, thank you so much for coming on today. I hope you've been doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it so much last time. I was super happy when you texted me, asked me to come back on again. I've been doing great. Everything is going well. Hope all is good in your corner of the world. Everyone's happy and healthy.
Yep, we are hanging in there. You know, we're just riding out the rest of this crazy 2020 year with, you know, the election. We're still waiting to hear what's going on with that, who's going to be the next president. And, you know, I tell you, sports and politics are probably the two biggest things you could debate and talk about. And while our adrenaline's pumping while waiting for this presidential election and the results, we definitely, I know me and you are fired up about this topic as well, too, with the White Sox. Because when we were texting about this, it's fair to say that both of us weren't the biggest fans of Tony La Russa being hired. We kind of questioned it. And really, that's where I want to start. Like, you know, we'll break down some things, you know, different aspects of this. But to kick it off, you know, what's your overall take? Do you like or dislike the hiring?
Well, truthfully, it came in a couple different waves. Obviously, when it first happened, we were texting back and forth, and I was really questioning the reasoning behind it. To me, it really just felt like the owner, Reinsdorf, was kind of just making up for a firing some 20, 40 years ago when he fired La Russa the first time in back in 86, I believe it was. So after the initial wave of kind of shock, it kind of settled over me, and obviously we'll discuss a little more. And I, even though I don't like it, there might have been a couple other candidates. I can start to understand how it became clear that La Russa was going to be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
I mean, the way the media coverage and the rumors that were circulating, it almost seemed like there was no chance for anybody other than Tony La Russa to get this job. I mean, right off the bat, it came out that he was the favorite, and I'm really not surprised by the hiring. I was initially surprised to hear his name, but as these last couple of weeks have unfolded, it just seemed more and more like that this is who they wanted to go with. And, I mean, to me, this just seems like such a Jerry Reinsdorf thing. I guess it's not really been confirmed or not admitted by Jerry or even Rick Hahn, the GM, that, you know, Jerry went over Rick Hahn's head here, but it's kind of insinuated that, yeah. And, you know, it's funny that this move happens this year, you know, a couple months removed from when we got The Last Dance, you know, documentary on the 1990s Bulls and Michael Jordan and whatnot, and the greatness of the six championships and just all the politics that played a role in that. It seems like, because, you know, again, reminder that Jerry Reinsdorf owns both the Bulls and the White Sox, for those that forget or don't know. It, you know, he kind of played favorites and had a buddy system with certain people within the Bulls organization. And I'm kind of wondering if it is the same thing here with Tony La Russa and the Sox, you know, being a manager with the team. Ironically, you know, La Russa's managed for over 30 years, and he's been with the A's. He's been with, most recently, the St. Louis Cardinals. And he's been with all – he was with all three teams, like, with for long tenures. But the only place he never had that winning success was with the Sox, which was his first stop. So I guess, you know, it's going to be a great storyline in the storybook in the future if they end up winning a World Series here eventually, or, you know, maybe a couple. We could, you know, as Sox fans, we're greedy and we're hoping that's the case. But, you know, it's not going to be a storybook ending until it comes to fruition. And that's why I think everyone's – a little bit worried, because you got a guy who's been out for 11 years and then you bring in, or 9 years, maybe, I think 2011 was his last year with the Cardinals. But did you really want to bring in a cheater? Did you really want to bring in AJ Hinch or Alex Cora? Or, you know, I know there was a couple of other guys. Bruce Bochy was talking about potentially coming out of retirement. He was willing to hear out the White Sox offer if they were to approach him. So it's like they went old school. Or then you had the opportunity to get two successful managers, former managers, who were eventually caught and punished and let go from their respective teams for cheating. So at the end of the day, Drew, and I told, and we talked about this when we texted about it, you know, my opinion is, as much as I was disappointed and frustrated with Renteria, I actually think, given the situation of who was available, you either go with the cheating managers that still are going to have a little bit of a blemish on this, on your legacy in terms of if they win. I mean, you're always going to know AJ Hinch was a cheater. Alex Cora was a cheater when the Astros. But does that even mean Tony La Russa, who, yeah, he's a legend, but does it make sense to get a guy who's, you know, in his 70s and has been out of baseball and may not see eye to eye in terms of the beliefs of literally the players he's going to be managing? So I, in my opinion, I would have done one more year with Renteria and just see how it goes and start looking for who would be available potentially next year after the next season. Are you, out of everybody that was interviewed or available to be potentially, you know, hired as the manager, if not La Russa, who would have you have liked to have seen manage the Sox?
For me, that's a really loaded question, because we'll just start with Renteria. And I mean, you look back at Renteria's career, he did exactly what the White Sox hired him to do. He did the same thing with the Cubs. He built up a very young core, a core that wasn't really anywhere near playoff contention, wasn't really playing winning baseball. He built up the young talent. He brought them up, and he really managed them to get them to their potential star level. And you saw that with the Cubs too. You saw all of a sudden, you know, Madden come in, and then all, you know, Cubs World Series champions. So you saw that with Renteria here. He came in, had a very young core with the White Sox, and they just kept adding pieces to it. And we kept hearing, oh, we're, you know, 2 years away, 3 years away. And all of a sudden, come 2020, with all the hype and everything going into spring training, then obviously you have the shutdown. Oh, are we going to play baseball at all? And we get to play baseball. The White Sox start out slow, but then they just catch fire. The young core really starts showing up. And at the end of the day, the real final straw for Ricky was the game three against the A's, how he just managed the bullpen, just ran out of arms and really played them out, managed himself out of the game. So that was the final straw for Ricky. And then obviously they fired him, and now they're looking for a coach with playoff experience recently, who I don't exactly have the full list that Rakan had, but there was a whole list that he listed off, and they said, this is what we're looking for in our next coach. And you start to hear names, but right away you hear La Russa as a top contender, like not even an hour after Rick Hahn's press conference. So then you start to look into these people, and I mean, I'll truthfully agree with you. I think one more year under Ricky wouldn't have been the worst idea, just because obviously Luis Robert had, if you want to count this as a full year, he's had one full year in the league. This was Eloy's second year. And I mean, Luis Robert, first year in the league, gold glove. I mean, the sky is the limit for him. But you look at the managerial candidates, and I think in the end, it was kind of hand in hand, Reinsdorf hiring a friend over Rick Hahn. Because if you look at the La Russa interview when he first got hired in as manager, you could see Rick Hahn kind of maybe a little flustered, forced a smile here and there, but I think you could tell this wasn't Hahn's choice, and that really upset him. But at the same time, you look at the other two like main candidates, both of them have the black cloud hanging over them that you talked about of the scandal. And in my opinion, La Russa got the job because I think that was just too much to overlook for the other two candidates, especially with some of the free agents we have coming in the free agent market this year. Like, you have Trevor Bauer as a potential, and he has been very vocal about the whole cheating scandal and everything going on there. So you have to think, as a White Sox fan, okay, we need a third arm because Giolito is our ace. You have Dallas. We need that third arm in there. And if Bauer wants to come over the White Sox, would he think about going to a team that is now coached by one of the managers that were caught up in that scandal? And I think that just that outweighed the cons against La Russa. Hasn't coached since 2011, as you said. But the last time he coached, he won a World Series. He's been to the World Series six times, won it three times. Overall, he has 2,700-plus wins. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He has that caliber in him. But the whole method of this year, this past year for the White Sox, was change the game. That was their motto, change the game. And you're going back to a manager that now kind of is more old school. All those unspoken rules that everyone has been talking about this year, the White Sox have really been, hey, let's make baseball fun. Forget the unwritten rules. Let's make our new rules. So it's really going to be interesting how Tim Anderson bat flipping a game winning home run versus La Russa, who doesn't like that. And I know he came out in the press conference saying, you know, if it's in the moment, I understand it. I'll be fine with that. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to live it. And what happens, you know, in the eighth inning, and let's say the Brewers just, Yelich just hits a home run against the White Sox to make it a 3-2 ball game, and he bat flips, he walks around the base with some swag. Is La Russa going to pitch at the next person? Because if so, that goes against the motto the White Sox have been trying to get rid of the unspoken rules and really trying to make the game fun again. So it's one thing to talk about, yeah, it's okay, let's make the game fun. It's another thing that in the heat of the moment to show that. So I think that's going to be a big thing for La Russa to really show his team that, you know, I am older, 76 years old, haven't managed the game since 2011. I understand where you're wanting to go, and I'm behind you with that.
Yeah, I mean, I have two major concerns with La Russa in terms of his success with
the team. But before I give my takes, I'm just curious to know if you had to kind of rank or at least say, like, what is your biggest concern with him? I mean, you've kind of mentioned some, so it's like, I guess you could say, what is the biggest? Are you worried of his age for being so old and being, you know, out of the game for like 9 years? Are you worried about his managing style? Because that's one of the things I'm going to bring up here in a moment. There's one thing about his managing style that's actually kind of similar, maybe not similar, but it's one of the same issues that we've had with Renteria. Or is it political beliefs or something else that could affect his relationship with his team? What would you say would be your biggest concern about La Russa managing the type of team and the type of personality that this White Sox team has here in this current generation?
My biggest fear, that's a tough one, because I don't think managerial-wise, like, you don't get 2,700 wins by being a bad manager. You don't get to 6 World Series by being a bad manager. He's a great manager back in 2011 when he was last there. And I don't think, you know, he retired, took some time off. I don't think you lose that aspect of being a bad manager. He's still a great game manager. He understands the game. My biggest worry is going to be what I just talked about, the fact that the whole culture of the White Sox is change the game. Let's make the game fun. Let's make the game exciting. All those big voices, really led by Tim Anderson. I understand the faces of the franchise are starting to become Luis Robert, Johan Moncada, the younger guys with Abreu there. But the face of the White Sox for me is really Tim Anderson, because he's more outspoken. He does his own things outside of the White Sox. He has his own clothing line, has his own photographer that he does social media with. His whole thing is change the game, and the White Sox took that motto on this year. So how is La Russa going to come in and really not only accept that, but show that he accepts that to the face of your franchise and Tim Anderson? Because I understand, with all Tim's faults, whatever you want to say, oh, his defense is lacking. Well, the past 2 years, he's been working hard at defense. He's been doing a lot better with his defensive. His bat isn't there. Well, 2 years ago, he won the batting title. He was second place this year. So his whole game is starting to really come together, and he's really starting to change the culture of the White Sox. Now he wants to take it a step further. With this new hiring, does Tim Anderson have the ability to take it a step further, or will he be forced to take a step back, be unhappy, and really be detrimental of the culture there? That's my biggest issue. That's my biggest fear. How will La Russa really impact the culture that is already being established with the White Sox?
Yeah, that is one of my two fears of him, and why I'm a little bit worried that this isn't exactly the ideal hiring for the White Sox is, and I won't continue to repeat what you're saying, but a couple of years ago, La Russa was a critic of the kneeling and the Colin Kaepernick movement with, you know, players kneeling during the national anthem. He did come out during his press conference and say he has no problem with protests and expressions if it's done, you know, I forgot the word he used, but like it kind of like genuinely, like it's done with respect, and it's, and so I get what he's saying. Like he's cool with it as long as it's not harmful and hurting people. And that's been such a big political debate on it. Are the protests and Black Lives Matter movement, all this stuff, is it good, bad? I've never really had a problem with players expressing themselves. I mean, you got to remember too, a lot of these players, whether it's the MLB, the NBA, there's a lot of minority players that fill out these teams throughout the professional sports league. So you should almost expect them to express their opinions and feelings about their people and their families and things like that. So I'm hoping that he's genuine about making that comment when he did during the press conference. I hope he's willing to, even if he's got to sit down and talk and discuss things with Anderson and all these other guys, like, and not that anybody really on the White Sox did anything like big and outrageous in terms of, you know, expressing themselves with everything going on. But I mean, some have acknowledged, some have talked about it, you know, on social media and on interviews and whatnot. So I think, you know, you kind of respect your players, and maybe that talk has to happen so they have an understanding before they even get to spring training, before they even have a, you know, get to the season. And I you know, it's not my biggest worry, but I am significantly worried about it, because it's, you know, it's not even the politics a part of it. It's also the expressions in terms of the bat flipping and the home runs and stuff. I mean, La Russa was even reported criticizing Fernando Tatis for hitting that home run. I forgot if it was a home run or grand slam, you know, at the end of the game when they were dominating their opponent, and then he ended up, you know, spurring a fight or some issues. I don't understand why it's such a big deal to play the game the right way, which is every time you go up to bat, you're looking to score runs or get on base. Like, I think it's simple as that. And I think there is a line that could be crossed where you kind of start a problem and you could get in trouble. But, you know, flipping your bat and celebrating, waving your fist, pumping your chest and running around the bases shouldn't really be a big deal. Now, if you're trying to start fighting other players on the other team and just, you're just a complete distraction and you're just really messing things up for your own team, okay, then La Russa as manager has the right to talk to the player about that, to figure out how to stop this. But Tim Anderson has done nothing to antagonize the other team. He just celebrates when he makes big plays. So I would hope that he would, you know, and kind of embrace the energy. I mean, maybe that was part of his motivation to come back, though, too, is that he looks at this team and he's like, there's a lot of young guys. There's a lot of exciting players here. You know, they got a swagger, which you got to have confidence. You got to have a swagger. And obviously having somewhat of an ego is important to fit all those things of confidence and having that swagger, which leads to winning most of the time. So I think at the end of the day, Drew, it's going to come down to, we just have to wait and see how he approaches this team when they get the spring training and when they start playing games. And lastly, my other worry, where he's kind of reminding me of Rick Renteria a little bit, is he's one of those, and even, you know, Joe Maddon with the Cubs back in, you know, before he got let go prior to this season, he's another one of those managers that loves to pull pitchers after one batter. Now, he can't do that because, you know, the rule changed. Each pitcher has to face at least three batters. But, you know, how is that going to affect his, you know, managerial style with pitching? And that's where the Sox are going to have their biggest need of concern, you know, in free agency here, is they need some more bullpen help. They really need another starting pitcher. Is that going to tie into issues with free agency? Is Trevor Bauer going to tolerate his pitching strategy? Is a reliever going to come in the town knowing that, you know, is La Russa going to try to adopt that same style where, okay, well, you have to face three batters now, but I have to pull you. Is there anything extreme that he's going to do that's old school, that doesn't fit the beliefs or the style of these players today? That's another concern. And again, with the guy being out of managing baseball, yes, okay, he's been a part of teams since leaving the Cardinals in 2011, but he hasn't managed. He hasn't been in control of a team, making the decisions in game and personnel decisions before and after games. He hasn't done that for almost a decade. Is he going to adapt to the new style, the new current style of baseball, or is he going to try to be old school and potentially harm, you know, the way these players play, whether it's the current guys on the team or the guys they come in? Those are my two big question marks. And again, I think we just have to wait till we get to the season to see how it pans out. I don't think it's going to totally detract stars from or players in general. I don't know how much star power they're going to acquire this year, Drew, but and that's what I want to ask you next. Like, let's kind of delve in the free agency here a little bit. Do you think, with what I just mentioned, what we've been talking about with differences in opinion and personality, and even maybe differences in strategy, especially with pitchers, which we know that the Sox are going to have to get help in, do you think that's going to negatively affect their free agency period, or do you still think there's a strong chance they can pull in a couple of guys to kind of complete this roster?
Well, first of all, I just want to go back to your comment. He actually was one of the people that criticized Fernando Tatis. You were correct. But it was the grand slam on the 3-0 swing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so he came out openly and criticized Tatis about that, which is, again, the exact opposite of what Tim Anderson said. Tim Anderson said basically, hey, You see that 3-0 pitch, you like it. Never not swing at your ball. Always be wanting to play the ball. If the pitchers don't like it, hey, don't put the ball there. Strike me out type deal. As far as free agents, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I would say, because I would assume that Reinsdorf, Hahn, La Russa really kind of felt the pulse of the White Sox fan base when they hired La Russa, and obviously a lot of White Sox fans, I would say the majority, 80%+ of White Sox fans, were really upset with the hiring because of all the facts I've stated, all the facts you stated. And I think that really is going to cause some things during free agency that I think it might force Reinsdorf to really, as much as he hates it, and we've seen that he hates it for a while, I think it will force him to really open that checkbook and try and go out and get these premier free agents with as close as we were with such the young core. We saw what we were really missing. We were missing that third pitcher. We were missing some of the bullpen arms, right fielder, a DH. We had very few spots that if we had it, maybe we were the ones that pulled our star pitcher, you know, after the sixth inning against the Dodgers in game six. And I mean, who knows what happens that there, obviously, but I think there are a few pieces we need. I would really like to see Bauer in a White Sox uniform. I would love to see that. I don't know if La Russa being there is too much of a deterrent for Bauer, because at this point, all the players that are free agents or not have to realize what the White Sox have built up, that young core that they've built up. They have to take note of that. And will La Russa, as old as he is, what his managerial style was, is that going to be too much of a deterrent? I don't believe so for the right price. So I think they're going to have to open up the checkbook a little bit to try and get your Trevor Bowers, your George Springers, your Ozunas, some of these top-tier free agents. I don't know if they would consider the White Sox, depending on how much money was offered versus the new manager. Hopefully they can come to some sort of agreement, but I really do think they need to go out and try and get at the very least, the third pitcher and the right fielder. I think those are going to be the two key positions for the White Sox this offseason, with some others sprinkled in. I think we really need to re-sign Alex Colome. He has been a fantastic closer for us, and that's really hard to find right now. I know we have Garrett Crochet in the back end, who has amazing stuff, but he was just drafted this year, so we want to give him time to develop. I would love to re-sign McCann as that second catcher, but I know that's not going to happen. He wants to go out and be a starting catcher somewhere, and I absolutely love James McCann. He has been such a huge help to the White Sox, and I wish him all the best. Hopefully he decides, you know, I can live with, you know, splitting time at catcher position, but he definitely deserves being a first team catcher. But there are going to have to be some free agent acquisitions, and the big question is, how big of an impact is that La Russa signing going to be for the big tier free agents? And I don't think we'll know that until the free agents start really picking up signing wise. I don't know if we'll be able to see that until we maybe see, okay, Bauer went off the board. Okay, who's the next pitcher? Oh, he also went off the board. Who's the third, the fourth, the fifth pitcher in line? And if they start going off the board and we hear the White Sox are making very competitive offers, if not bigger offers, I think then you start to see, okay, this is a bigger impact than we originally thought.
I think the odds are if the Sox are going to sign, let's say, a star or superstar player, I think it's going to more than likely come from somebody on the mound. Like, it's going to be like a Trevor Bauer type of guy, or maybe one of the star relief pitchers that are on the market. I don't know if they're necessarily going to go after a home run pick like, say, like George Springer. I mean, ideally, a guy like Springer would be nice, because they really need one more outfielder, and they need, I think, one more key piece to that offense to just kind of balance out, you know, what they have. And again, when you're a good team, when you got money and you're a young contending team that's not rebuilding, you're not having any drama, they're just, you know, when you could potentially be that one last piece or one of the final pieces in into the puzzle, that's going to attract attention, you know, especially right now. You know, you don't even have to worry about the Cubs, because the Cubs, if anything, they're going to be selling off guys and trying to kind of break this up and trying to maybe figure out something else. So, I mean, the odds are, I mean, if anyone's coming to Chicago, it's going to be the south side, not the north side. So if you find a way to get Bauer, great. If, you know, even like a guy like Marcus Stroman. Stroman, he's another veteran type of pitcher, but he's still got some stuff in the tank, and I think ideally he would fit the mold perfectly for like that third pitcher. And then obviously, you know, Cease and Dunning are your four and your five. You know, there's really just that mid piece to fill into the rotation, and then you're set. Relief pitchers, obviously, if they can even snag two or three guys, I think that would be great, because I'm not super confident in the depth they have with that bullpen right now. So I think that's where really you got to spend the money. And in terms of McCann, if he goes, I mean, there are a couple interesting names out there, you know, Yadier Molina, Kurt Suzuki, Jason Castro, Mike Zunino. I mean, if you're going to be kind of flip-flopping with catchers and not, you know, guaranteeing a guy like James McCann to, you know, to have, you know, 80 or 90% of the starts at catcher, and you have to move on from him, you know, maybe if Molina does leave St. Louis, which I don't see, that's a guy you bring in with huge veteran experience. Kurt Suzuki would be decent. Even Mike Zunino, coming off of, you know, a World Series appearance with the Rays. Or if you wanted to go big, you go after JT Realmuto from the Phillies. He's going to be asking for a lot of money, but there's going to be probably a big aggressive push for the two-time All-Stars. So, I mean, if you really want to go big and hit a home run at catcher, that's maybe an idea. But there also are some, what I would label as second-tier players. Maybe they're not stars. Like Marcell Ozuna had a superstar year, but I think I don't think a 1 year makes you a superstar. But what he did with the Braves this past season, he'd be fantastic to fill out the rest of the outfield there. You know, you could go after, you know, some other guys like Jackie Bradley, Kevin Pillar, Ryan Braun, if the Brewers move on. I mean, you got some guys there. They let go of Edwin Encarnacion. They're not going to bring him back. Okay, if you need a DH or another DH option, I mean, what about Nelson Cruz, man? That guy, I think the Twins would be silly to let him go. I mean, the dude's 40 years old, and he's cranking out home runs like crazy. But, I mean, I think if you're okay giving the guy like a two-year deal, which is what apparently he's looking for, you know, why not go for it? So there's plenty of options. They're going to sign somebody, and I'm not, given the way they had a good, given the way free agency went last year, Drew, I'm not worried like I was in the past about Reinsdorf spending money. I think I have faith that him and Rick Hahn see how much wealth is in this, how much talent, wealth of talent is in this free agency class at literally any position. I mean, you could pick up Charlie Morton, Masahiro Tanaka, like I said, Marcus Stroman, Jake Odorizzi. I mean, there are a bunch of guys out there that you could fit in that three spot to come in right after your two aces pitch. So that's amazing. And then obviously you got, and like I said, I'm big on Liam Hendricks. I really hope they go after him. I love to see Alex Colome come back, maybe snag Jeremy Jeffries from the Cubs. So there's a lot of great options there. So I would say that, again, I'm just going to put my money on the table now and say that they're going to, most of their investment's going to come from pitching, you know, whether it's bullpen or rotation, but hopefully maybe they go after one more outfielder, because I think that's really where their nagging issue is, because Eloy Jimenez, obviously the bat is great, but he's still a big concern defensively out there. So, and we know he could probably play the DH as well if that's the combination you wanted to go with, but curious your thoughts. What do you think they're going to do, and really what would you rather see them do? Invest mostly on the mound or look at more field players?
I agree with you 100%. I think most of the money is going to be spent in that pitcher position, whether it be the starter, the third plate piece, or in reliever. I do think they will sign a right fielder of some sort. I don't really know if they're going to even try and go after George Springer, which would be a big get for the White Sox, or if maybe they do try and go after Ozuna, who's had that one great year with the Braves, but hasn't shown that, okay, he can sustain this. Obviously, you have Adam Engel still there. You have Lourdes Garcia that they signed back. So they do have some backup options. And, I mean, we saw when it got to late innings at 7th, 8th, 9th inning, they would put Engel, they would put Dyson, they would put their fast guys out in the outfield, and that would be just a no-fly zone because you have Luis Robert covering so much field in center field, and you put two other speed guys at the corner, not a lot of balls are going to fall back there. So I think getting that one right fielder is going to be – it could be big. It just depends who they go for. That second-tier catcher – I don't think they need to sign it because they still have Zach Collins, who has gotten some big league time, not a lot. But if they need to, they do have him, who's an up-and-coming prospect that they really do like inside the team. So I do agree with you. I think most of the money is going to be spent on the mound this year. And just like you, the past couple of years, I'm going to be like, okay, who are we going to be in the running for and just get out bid for? Last year really proved to me like, okay, they understand that, hey, we're close. Let's go spend some money. So that does give me hope this year. I just think if they really have a pulse on the White Sox fan base, I think they understand like, hey, we're taking a risk on hiring La Russa. I think we need to prove to the fans like, hey, this isn't just a friend hiring for Reinsdorf. This is we think this is the best candidate. We're going to give him the best team we can. Here are the free agents we signed. You see these guys, they're really great guys to fill out the roster. Let's go do this thing now, because White Sox window is rather big. I would put the window next 7, 8, 9, 10 years. They do have a great big window because they do have all those young guys signed to long-term deals. But it's now at the point where, okay, it's going to be 2021. I think Mancada is signed to 2024. You have Robert signed to 2025. Eloy signed to 2025. Like, okay, I understand long-term deals, but that's still only 4 years. Let's try and win this now. And with La Russa, you have that experience, but you need to be able to bring in those key free agents, that third pitcher, that, you know, big right fielder that can really make a name. And as even though Nelson Cruz is getting up there in age, you're right, he was really cranking out home runs, and he truthfully was the White Sox killer last year. It always seems the Twins just has that one guy the White Sox can never get out. So I can see the White Sox possibly trying to sign him, but I can also see a lot of the White Sox fans being like, oh, this is another Edwin Encarnacion experiment, which, in my opinion, they got what they asked for. I mean, I understand the numbers were small last year, but it was also a small sample size of games. He still had, I think, had, like, I think 9 home runs, 10 home runs in 60 games. His batting average was about average of what he's been. Obviously, he didn't have as many RBIs, but again, not half a season. So I think
he was hurt too at one point, right? Wasn't he on the
DL? He was on the DL for probably, I think he got put on the 10-day DL for a little bit. But, like, you got what you asked him to do. You really did from the DH position. He just wasn't effective in big time moments when they needed him to hit that single, hit that double. He wasn't able to do that. He popped out a lot. And I understand that portion of it, but the White Sox got what they signed for. He was a veteran presence on a young team that produced when he was really asked to. It just wasn't those big time moments he was able to bring to the White Sox that they wanted him for.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, man, I really wouldn't have a problem if they brought Encarnacion back. I know it didn't maybe meet the expectations totally, but again, when you originally hired him, you thought you were having a regular season in terms of 162 games and not having a pause in training. And again, you know, a 60-game season, not even half of a full season. Plus, even if it was just a quick 10-day DL stint, I mean, that essentially kept him out of even a couple more games to prove himself and, you know, be 100% healthy out there on the field. And, you know, the depth, and this is great for the Sox, but it's a legitimate, I think, excuse or reason for, you know, Encarnacion, is there's so much depth on the Sox and they could put a handful of different players at the DH that, I mean, he wasn't really needed every night. So that's why, you know, if the Sox do look at a DH again, I mean, I don't know if you're going to really try to break the bank on like Cruz or somebody else. And maybe it's smart to bring Encarnacion back just to have some depth because, you know, Aloy, you know, Grandal, Abreu, I mean, you got a handful of guys that could play DH. McCann if he came back, and you know, who knows what the roster is going to look like, but they definitely, it's safe to say even right now that there are like three or four different players that could play DH depending on how they want to do the lineup. So you don't need to spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars for a DH if you're just going to plug a different guy in every couple of games or depending on the series and the pitching matchup. But I will say, maybe one infield position that I think they need to work on would be second base. I don't know how I totally feel yet in terms of, you know, Madrigal and Lory García. I think you could maybe bring in another guy, like a guy that I like this year, of course, with playing fantasy baseball with you. Cesar Hernandez from the Indians was another guy that not a full-time starter, I don't think, but the guy hit 283 last year, 20 RBIs. So he's just somebody that I think could produce. You know, Madrigal, I felt like we didn't really see enough of his offensive prowess just yet. And Lory García, I mean, we know what Lory could do. I mean, I think he'd be fine playing at second base, but I feel like his value is really in the outfield as well. But if you did want to go after and boost your offensive production at second base, there's definitely a few, I would say, even on the cheaper side of options too, like Tommy La Stella, Cesar Hernandez, Jurickson Profar, Kiki Hernandez, Colton Wong. So, you know, like I said, you can really dabble into so many different positions in free agency this year, man, and get some really good talent, whether it's real expensive guys or even guys that you might be able to snag on 1, 2, 3-year deals that aren't going to break the bank for you. But yeah, like I keep saying, I just hope they break the bank in terms of maybe getting a guy like, you know, Bauer or Stroman or Liam Hendricks or one of those elite relievers out there to really finish fitting the pieces into this puzzle. Because, like, as I always keep telling people too, remember what happened on the north side here with the Cubs. They had a great team. It looked like everything was going well and that they were going to have, you know, five really good solid years of contending after 2015, after obviously winning in 2016. They misread and mismanaged some of their signings, some of their players that they had. And now look at the Cubs. They got that World Series. It's, you know, those guys are legends. And, you know, to break that 108-year curse is huge. But, you know, Cubs fans, I know they feel so empty-handed still almost because they should have had more. And I think that's why it's important for the Sox to be smart with their decisions. And we'll see if they were smart with the managing decision here. But, you know, be smart and don't be afraid to acquire the appropriate pieces to finish this puzzle, because like you said, this Sox team could really, they're set up for the decade, really, in terms of the contracts and how young these guys are. I mean, if they could find a way to hold on to these guys and fit this team together the right way and have the right manager, team could be great for the next 7, 8 years. Like, this shouldn't be just a one and done team. And we still haven't seen what they could do in a full on season yet, which in my opinion should add even more excitement for us and other Sox fans out there. So in terms of, you know what, I want to go back to the managing thing real quick, because I did have something I should have asked you earlier. But again, going back to that debate on who are you willing to take the risk on, let's say the White Sox win the World Series, in a year or two. You know, we won't be specific on the date here, but say in this contention window, they do win at least one World Series. Would you rather have it be with Tony La Russa and these concerns that we addressed earlier in the podcast? Or would you be willing to have, you know, AJ Hinch or Alex Cora, a good manager, but obviously they have the flaws and the blemish of, you know, being a part of that Houston Astros scandal. Would you rather take one of those guys and always have a little bit of a blemish on the legacy of this current Sox team? Or would you rather potentially sacrifice a lot of your mental health watching La Russa manage this team and hoping that he doesn't do anything to mess it up?
If we're saying the White Sox do indeed win a World Series in the next, we'll just say in the next 5 years, not even give it a 1 or 2 year period, next 5 years, I would rather sacrifice some of the mental health, the cardiac games, all that comes with La Russa, rather than, you know, the White Sox win the World Series with AJ Hinch. Okay, but, you know, the Astros won the World Series with AJ Hinch too, and I mean, we saw what happened, like, what could that have carried over the White Sox? We saw, I mean, this year, Jose had a great year, and a fantastic MVP caliber year. I truly believe, I understand I'm a little biased, I truly believe if he doesn't win the MVP, and I mean, this probably second place DJ LeMahieu ends up winning it, I think it's a little Yankee rigged, because looking at Jose's numbers, he had 76 hits out of 240, batting .317. He had 19 home runs, 60 RBIs. That's one RBI per game. Like, he had a fantastic year offensively and defensively. He carried that team to the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. Like, he carried that team. He was the most valuable player to that team. And they've halfway through the season, when he had that little stretch against the Cubs, and then he had that stretch against, I think, the Twins or the Indians, one of them. And I remember, obviously it was on Twitter, so we know how reliable Twitter can be nowadays, but I remember reading a tweet under the White Sox saying, you see all these guys with gold chains, it's just like the Astros, they have buzzers in the change to let them know when the fastball is coming. And it's gotten to that point where it's starting to spread, even without the managers there, starting to spread to other teams. I just think the black cloud that's over them, even though I'm sure they're fantastic managers. I think Hinch has been hired or is in lead contention for the Tigers. I mean, I'm sure they're fantastic managers, but I just think the black cloud overlooking them, if the White Sox end up winning, I just think that might be too much, and they'll always be considered, you know, a little asterisk. And with, you know, White Sox history, we look back, Shoeless Joe Jackson, the biggest, you know, biggest scandal in MLB, Black Sox scandal. Like, can the White Sox deal with that again? And I just think, if you're saying the White Sox win a World Series in the next 5 years, either way, I think I would rather it be with La Russa, with his managerial style, whether it be, you know, detrimental to, you know, my mental health each and every game. I would rather it be like that than with the black cloud just overlooking every time you go see the White Sox in the record book.
Yeah, you know, I have my doubts with La Russa. I have my doubts and my worries, I should say. But at the end of the day, I think I'm going to keep the glasses half full outlook, because I do have a little bit of optimism, too. I truly believe in the driving factor of motivation and just the way people are mentally. Like, for La Russa to take over this team again at the age of 76, there has to be some kind of driving force. There's some edge, a competitive edge for him to maybe want to come back. And, you know, he won with the A's, he won with the Cardinals, he didn't win with the White Sox. He has a chance to come back with probably one of the best teams the franchise has ever had, and has another opportunity here to right that wrong, or not, maybe, I don't want to say right that wrong. I know it wasn't the greatest separation from the Sox, but I would say it would be the last, it would complete his legacy. It's like the sugar on top of an already great coach and a guy that's always going to be remembered forever in terms of the sport of baseball. For him to come back and know that he has an opportunity to lead this team to the promised land, to know that he has these players, I really do think that is a driving force for him, and it's a factor as to why he wanted to come back and accepted this job. And if that's true, that's a good thing. And I'm with you, Drew, is that black cloud of having Hinch or Cora as manager? I mean, the White Sox never get respect in the terms of the city of Chicago and in terms of the sport of baseball, the league. Jose Abreu has been undervalued and disrespected his entire career. And to be fair, he's played on a lot of crap White Sox teams over the years. I mean, this is the best he's been a part of. But that's not his fault. You know, look at Tim Anderson. The guy's been one of the best hitters in baseball, a batting champion, all this other stuff, or in the running at least. And ESPN forgot to put him on the freaking stat sheet in the leaders of batting average. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I remember, I think we were back in our college days, we were talking to a couple of our other White Sox friends that were pissed off about that. And it's the truth that everybody looks past the White Sox. And when they finally reach the promised land here, hypothetically, if they do in a couple, within the next couple of years, are people outside of being fans of the South Side, are they going to respect and give credit when it's due and say, yep, you know what, these guys are legit, they won, you know, one of the best teams we've seen play the game, blah, blah, blah? Or is it going to be, oh, well, yeah, you know, the only way you could win is with AJ Hinch or with Alex Cora? That's why I think I can live, I'm not going to be the biggest fan until I see how this rolls out with La Russa, but I'm willing to give it a chance because I would rather have a great legacy for a team that deserves it, for a fan base that deserves it, because they never get enough recognition or enough of an opportunity. I'd rather deal with this than deal with the constant criticisms of having a cheating coach who I don't even know if I could fully root for and support. I really don't know. So it's, again, like I said, this is literally like trying to debate and talk politics, because I don't think there's really one right answer, and you could take so many different sides and stances with this, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens. And I mean, if you ever want to come on the podcast again, man, you're more than welcome, because I feel like we're definitely going to need to talk about free agency once it gets started and once some moves get made. So I will definitely stay in touch with you on that, because, you know, that's really what we're waiting for now, is just seeing what moves they can make, because they got the manager. Now it's just see what they want to pick up, who they want to pick up, and what positions they need to address. So, Drew, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me on. I'm always happy to talk sports, especially White Sox sports, because you're absolutely right. They don't get enough credit outside the South Side. I mean, you look back in 2005, the South Side went crazy when we won the World Series, and everyone else was like, okay, like, yawn. You're still the little brother of the Cubs. And I mean, it's just, it is a lot of, I don't want to say disrespect, but it is a lot of overlook because of, I mean, the North Side, you have the Cubs, which is a historic team, don't get me wrong, but you still have the South Side there, and they don't get a lot of coverage. They don't get a lot of national attention. And I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, being a White Sox fan, I've learned to live with it. But it was nice, especially this year, to see, you know, the national heads kind of turn and look like, oh, what's going on down on the South Side? Like, they actually have a competent team for once. And it was nice to have that going. I hope it can continue. And whether or not La Russa is the right choice, like you said, it yet to see. But I do want to touch on, I agree that the driving factor of him wanting to come back is to complete that legacy. You have him winning a World Series with the A's, but he went to three. You have him winning two World Series with the Cardinals, he went to three. And then you look at his time with the White Sox, went to one ALCS in nine seasons there. He finished at best, outside the ALCS, he finished third in the AL West. A lot of times he finished fifth, and then he was fired. So I think that was a big factor of him. Okay, I had success in Oakland. I had success in St. Louis. Let me finish off my legacy and bring a championship to the White Sox. And I think that is a driving factor. And I think with that in mind, I think he will be wanting to work with Tim Anderson and the team to understand what culture they built and just further that.
Yeah, and you know what? They literally are the most exciting team in Chicago right now. They are really because they're the best team. You know, there's a train wreck with the Bears. There's a train wreck with the Cubs. The Bulls, we're waiting to see what they do. So, but anyways, Drew, thank you for coming on the show today. And everyone, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.